to welcome you to the show tonight. Tonight we have a special guest. Dan Brett of Williams Brothers Model Products is joining us. Dan, welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Well, hello, Mike. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's get right into it. For those three or four people out there in the world who don't know who Williams Brothers Model Products is, why don't you tell us a little bit about the company and maybe how you got involved with it?
Well, the way back, the original brothers, who were modelers in the 30s and 40s, eventually built the various products like nylon hinges and control arms that didn't exist back then. And it all led them to actually starting this company in 1960 officially as a corporation, which they ran till 2004. And what had happened was in 2000, the two brothers died within 3 months of each other. And Granger's wife took over, who was about 77 when she took over. And it just overwhelmed her. So by 2004, they weren't doing so well, and the family said they had to sell. And I was just trying to buy a pair of wheels for my BK triplane and found out that they were out of business. And I wrote an email and a phone call to the website, and they said, well, why don't you buy us? And I basically didn't think I could afford it, but I put together a bid, and next thing I know, I'm the owner of Williams Brothers. So they said basically I was the only guy that wanted to keep all the molds, machines, and everything together and keep it in all in the United States. And versus the other bidders, they voted that I get it because they just hated the idea of their stuff going to China or overseas somewhere. So I ended up moving the whole thing in about 3 weeks from California to Texas, where I'm at, and getting it all set up in 05. And ever since, I've been working hard to get the molds functional and get the product back in production. And for the most part, RC accessories, we're almost about 99.9% successful having all those things running. And now we're working on the line of plastic scale models and detailed engine kits that they produced to get all those back in production this year.
Gotcha. You know, that's pretty interesting. You know, they had such a wide line of products. It's amazing to me how much you've been able to ramp the product line back up to the point that you have. I know it's probably been a lot of work. I tell you what, let's take some calls, hopefully, and let people know they can call in if they have any questions for you. Folks, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can call us at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio, or you can email your question or comments in to Dan or myself at live, at rcscalebuilder.com. Well, continuing on with the conversation, why don't you maybe explain to people, because I know I'm pretty ignorant about this, but kind of what's involved in manufacturing some of these products that you sell?
Well, it's quite an interesting process. I mean, I didn't know anything about the plastic industry when I got in. I was coming out of manufacturing, engineering, and semiconductor equipment. So a little different, but I figured, well, machine's machine. I can figure it out. And in the short story, the thing is the plastic comes in a pellet form, and we dry it to remove the moisture. Then we mix it with a colorant to provide the black, gray, linen, whatever color we want the plastic to be, and then load it into the injection mold machines. Heft in one of the molds, which run anywhere from 3x4 inch mold for like goggles to 103-pound aluminum mold for a C46 kit in 1/72 scale, and set the machine up and start shooting. And that was probably my biggest issue in the beginning, was I didn't know what I was doing. So it was all about learning about plastic and what the machine's doing, what all the knobs mean, and getting the process down. And I read some books and did some discussion and read magazines, especially guys that had troubleshooting articles. And by 07, I finally got to the point where I can look at a mold and go, about this much plastic, about this much temperature and pressure, and boom, parts come out pretty good. So it sounds easy, but it wasn't as easy as it, you know, the streamlined process sounds. But after the part is shot, it goes through an inspection process first by me as I produce the parts off the machines. I give it a rapid check, and your eye gets to know these things. And then the Lisa, who works here now, takes it from there, and she'll put it on a shadow card, which does a complete part inspection. It's kind of basically, if a part's missing, you'll see a white space where that part belongs on a black card. And then she'll bag it, tag it, or box it, or whatever, heat shrink wrap it, and turn it into finished goods, and then ship it out for us, take the orders, and that type of thing. It goes, you know, it's a pretty simple process, but it's one of those things that, you know, you're talking scale models and detailed parts, so there's a lot of attention that needs to be to make sure that, you know, the quality is there. And my whole basis in the beginning was just get these molds working, because I had like 138 molds up front that didn't function right away that I had to fix. And from there, it was, now they're functioning, now we need to run them again to see, can they produce in a manufacturing environment? And then that triggered a stream of more repairs and upgrades and things, because you know, you get sticky parts and ejector plates that don't run well, or things are too tight because they've rusted, or it's all kinds of crazy stuff. So it's been quite an effort, but now, nowadays, like today, you know, I'm like, we need quarter scale Vickers. I grab the mold, throw it in there, put in the numbers I, you know, figured out over time, and first part, boom, it's good.
That's awesome.
It's running well now.
Well, good. Well, that's good to hear. Well, it looks like we've got a caller. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller?
Hello?
Yes, who are we speaking with?
My name is Jeff Willen. I'm from Canada.
Hey, Jeff. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. How are you?
Great. You got a question or a comment for Dan?
How long have you been molding parts for? I just kind of jumped in a little premature here, but I'm interested in molding parts.
I started it in 2005. That's when I first turned the machines on and started learning how to shoot the parts. So basically, I've got a little under 5 years of playing with plastic machines, and I would say probably a couple of years of, you know, actually kind of knowing what I'm doing and what the objectives are and what needs to be done to make a good part.
I guess it's pretty much like anything else. You just have to get in there and do it a few times to get the feel of it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's, I mean, there's a lot of little, it's just endless on the tricks. I mean, the finish of the metal, the way the temperature can affect expansion or contraction of the parts, and how they eject, and whether you get flash or not. Well, it's really a balancing act. If you ever see like a spider graph, like if you do Excel, you've got like 5 or 6 points that kind of make this graphical shape. And if they're all balanced, you get like a perfect pentagram or hexagon or something. So that's kind of like what plastic feels like. You're, you know, you push one thing and it affects the other three.
Yeah.
Change temperature. Well, now pressure has been affected and speed of injection has been affected and cool time has been affected. And, you know, so it's kind of a crazy, you know, magical, you know, PFM type of thing for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hear you. You know, that's a, life's that way too a lot of times, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for your call. That was a great question. We got an email here. He didn't put his name, but I'm going to just read his question. Says, when does Dan anticipate he'll have the much anticipated quarter scale and third scale Lewis gun kits?
Well, that's a good project. I'm really pushing it this year, since we've kind of got over the hump of all the RC molds are pretty much working really well now. I've found this fellow in Italy that he designs high-tech CAD designs for all these other kit manufacturers, because, you know, the major kit manufacturers these days, they laid all those guys off, and then they hire them back as subcontractors, which it's great for a little guy like me because now I have access to them. And so I have an experienced CAD designer that he makes parts machine ready. So he said, if I get my design, I can hand it right over to the mold guy and he can start cutting metal. I've sent information off to him. Did spend a few months pulling information. World War I Aeroplanes publication helped me. I found some guys that sent me various things. I even found an old photograph of a manual. The research took a lot of time to actually get something with good pictures and dimensions.
Oh, yeah.
And just for grins, because, you know, I'm trying to be, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to want to do it better than it's ever been done before. So I'm really pushing to be able to make this Lewis where you can build it as a Mark II or a Mark IV. So you'll get the old air jacket on the early airplanes or, you know, no air jacket on the later, which is kind of like our six-scale gun today is a Mark IV. And he should be getting those drawings to us within about a month here. He's pretty fast, he said, and this is, to him, very simple, which I like. And we're kind of learning each other for the first time of how we work together. And if he gets those to me actually in about a month or so, then it's basically me go out and bid the job and see if I can go between my semi-retired machinist guy that he can make some of the parts. Then I go to the mold maker that can do the tough stuff that maybe needs an EDM. And then we piece it all together and I can do all the ejector pin work and get it in and start shooting parts and see what happens. But my goal is quarter scale, third scale, and fifth scale in that order. So the quarter scale, there are a lot of people asking for that. So I expect to have that one out first, and then shortly after, or maybe even simultaneous, depending on what the mold guy wants to do,
yeah.
Have the third scale. And then at some point, depending on how money goes, it's going to be the fifth scale to kind of backtrack.
Well, that's pretty interesting. You know, I don't think a lot of people probably realize how much time and effort goes into development of a product like that. It's not just a matter of making a plug like with fiberglass, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more intricate detail, and it has to be parted out and everything. And so, you know, I can imagine that takes a while. We actually got another email with another question. Timothy from Texas wants to know, do you plan on expanding the RC wheel and engine product lines?
The wheels, for sure. The engines, yeah, I'm definitely looking at that's another one I want to get on is like a third-scale Gnome or Lerone cylinder as a precursor to breaking into third scale. But for sure, Williams Brothers, you know, they kind of support Pioneer Aviation up through the 1930s for the most part. And I'd like to continue on, you know, with the tradition and enter World War II, which is a much larger market typically, and later into the jet age as far as like we at least wheels, mm-hmm. because guys keep asking me for the wheels for the various airplanes. And right now I can tell you I've got a little deal going with DB Sport and Scale in the UK. They made Spitfire and Hawker Hurricane kits, and he sent me the mold for his hub. He doesn't like his foam tire, so we're currently in the midst of developing a Williams-style rubber tire for those. So probably the first World War II wheels you're going to see come out of us is a kind of a DB Sport Scale slash Williams Brothers Spitfire and about 4.5-inch diameter and Hawker Hurricane wheel for his kit line, which may also work on some of the other kits. And then I want to branch into the other areas as well, because there's definitely a need, and I think people keep turning the Williams Brothers to fill the niche, and I think we're about the only guys that would seriously consider making something like that, because the whole costing of molds, which I'm constantly feverishly working on how to skirt around the cost of mold making, prevents a lot of people from doing it, but just from a cost standpoint, because it's, you know, they look at it in the plastic world. When I tell plastic guys, yeah, I probably shoot 200 of those a year, they laugh at me, because that's, you know, they're dealing with 100,000 million parts, things like that. But,
yeah, yeah.
You know, this is not a good business in the plastic world. You know, it's basically a model world, and it's going to be the big trick of how to get molds made. The Williams brothers were successful because they were their own mold makers. They made everything themselves. And the process today is a lot shorter because they started with a block of wood, carved it down, polished it, cast it in aluminum epoxy to get the negative, used a pantograph machine manual by hand to scale it and actually cut the aluminum. And then they went in, you know, for weeks on end, polishing and detailing it out. Today's world, the whole, you know, machining process is something that can be done like overnight. Getting a mold cut is very fast, and detailed is very fast. To get it polished out, and they're still stuck with the elbow grease for a couple weeks. And from what I'm seeing on the food chain, the biggest portion is the guy up front who's going to design the CAD drawings of, you know, collect the information and actually put it into CAD and design it. That's probably the longest phase of the whole process now. So I've got the food chain figured out, and I'm just constantly going through, you know, reverse engineering, rapid prototyping. I'm looking it up. You know, what is it the Chinese do when they copy something? I'm hitting all the bases to say, how can I, you know, be like them?
Gotcha.
And be able to, you know, grab something and just run with it and eventually bring mold making in-house.
That's pretty interesting, you know, and I'm you know, you talked about how quick it is to actually cut the mold. I bet that's a very expensive process.
Oh yeah, and if you know, it's a trick. I mean, if you send it to China, they'll be cheaper. They're probably at least half now because they've come up some, and the American guys have come down some. But you know, if you go to those places, you can't trust it. Next thing you know, other people are selling it. You know, they're knocking off molds and copying your stuff. If you stay in the U.S., as soon as you say the word mold, well, they're going to, well, you're going to make millions of parts. You know, we need a piece of that. So your mold's $50,000. You know?
Right.
So I'm dealing with machinists and telling them, hey, man, I just want this aluminum part machined. And not really, you know, telling them, I'm trying to avoid saying the word mold, so I, you know, pay machinist rates, basically. And then I'm familiar with doing polishing with diamond grit and specialty tools to do that, so I'm kind of taking my first step of commitment and saying, well, you know, if I get the mold cut, I'll do the finish, and then I'll do the ejector pin plates and get it all done after they cut the part, so... We'll see how that goes.
Well, we got another email in from Fred. And Fred, thank you for putting your name in. This is from the same gentleman that asked the question earlier about the Lewis gun. He wanted to know if you could talk a little bit about the re-release of the Pratt & Whitney Wasp engine kit.
Oh, yeah. The 8th scale Pratt & Whitney detailed engine kit was one of their most fantastic models. I mean, it's almost 200 parts. It's a very detailed plastic model, and we're on the edge now of releasing it. We've got the box art, we got the decal work for the little logo, Pratt & Whitney logo. We've actually got Pratt & Whitney on board. They were kind to us. That was kind of a fiasco to start with the third-party ambulance chasing lawyers came after us, but I skirted around and got directly into Pratt & Whitney, and you know, I told him, hey, man, it's 85th anniversary, and I bought this company. Gee, they got molds that make a Pratt & Whitney engine. Are you interested? And they jumped all over it.
Yeah.
The PR guys, you know, bumped their lawyer up for, hey, we got to get this because nobody would make anything for us for the 85th anniversary
right.
of Pratt & Whitney. So they're actually hot to see me make it and get it into their corporate store.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping within, we got it plotted out now, it's probably going to pop out within the month of April some point.
Awesome. Well, you know, I'm going to put a personal request in while I got you on the air here. You know, an engine kit that I cannot find anywhere is a Bristol Mercury.
Oh, yeah.
Nowhere. And, you know, and that's kind of an oddball anyway. But, but you know, it's amazing to me how many aircraft actually have that engine in it.
Around, oh yeah,
you know, but anyway, but yeah, well that's fantastic. I'm glad to hear you're about to release that. That's some great news. You know, the engine kits you sell, Dan, are just incredible. I've got one that I put together on an older model of mine, and you know, they just look fantastic. They just can't be beat. And I wish you could expand that line to include every engine and every scale, but, you know, we all know how that goes.
Well, if I can conquer the mold making thing, that becomes a lot more possible.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's, you know, with this rapid prototype print, 3D printing and things coming up, I'm foreseeing the stuff like that that's what you would consider low volume production that maybe not worth the investment of an injection mold would definitely fall under the 3D printing process, which I'm also looking at closely. If you can get the files, you know, my prediction for the future in the whole plastic model world is one day everyone's going to have a 3D printer on your desk and you're not going to buy a model kit, you're going to buy a file. You're going to put it in there and it says, well, do you want to print it as a kit or do you want to print it all together? What colors do you want on it? You know, what markings do you want? Because they're really advancing that technology to where they can color them and decorate them and everything. So I'm leery of it, but I'm like embracing it because I'm like, yeah, that's the next step we need to take a serious look at. So when you ask for something like that, if we get the file, we could at least offer somebody to print them. And if we only sell 5 a year, hey, it's not a problem.
Right.
There's no heavy investment of a mold.
Well, that's
awesome. It may not be quite the smoothness quality of an injection mold kit, but for what we do in RC, yeah, it's good enough.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, you talked a little bit about the Pratt & Whitney Wasp. Can you give us maybe a little sneak preview of some other things you've got coming out that you're going to re-release?
Well, of course, the 8th scale Wright engine, and given that cylinder mold surgery for the last 3 years, get a little extra cash, I sent it back to the doctor. So we're hoping to get that one back in production. That's about my last mold of all the cylinders that needs work.
Gotcha.
It's very close now, though. And the A-scale Lerone will be coming out shortly, probably this year also, because they made an A-scale Wright J5, Pratt Whitney Wasp, and a Lerone rotary, and then they made that 6-scale, which we've already put out because that's a popular one. Mm-hmm. And they made 18 different plastic model airplanes, which we're working on now. So you got 18 airplanes and 4 engines that were, you know, in our frenzy to get all those out and back in production and bringing us some income so we can move on to newer products. And there's one unfinished mold for a Lockheed Sirius and 148 scales. So that'll be my first step in a highly detailed type of mold, completing that project versus starting from scratch. I figure, well, that's a good learning curve. Start with something that's already started.
Yeah.
And I just happened to lucked into a fantastic deal on another injection mold machine here just in the last couple weeks from a guy that was upgrading, and he took his running machine offline and let me have it. So surprise, surprise, it's got twice the injection capacity of my biggest machine now, which brings me into the cubic inch calculation of 3rd scale wheels.
Wow.
So now which I've been hearing the cry for that too. And there's, you know, a lot of guys say that there's not a 3rd scale wheel out there they like, especially for World War One. So I'm all hot to trot to get that going and get that machine fired up and start looking at making a vintage wheel in 3rd scale to help support those guys with a Williams Brothers type of wheel. So that's got me excited. That's another kind of out of the blue thing that happened. It's always been in the back of my head. I got to do it, but I, you know, wasn't sure where my funding was going to come from for a bigger machine, because you get them this big, they're not real cheap, even on the used market.
I bet.
So that was like a godsend. If somebody else wants 3rd scale wheels to exist from Williams Brothers.
Someone's looking out for you, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. And I hope that maybe we can get you back another time and talk more about your business and what's going on with Williams Brothers. I want to take a minute and personally thank you for doing what you're doing. This hobby, we see a lot of businesses, classic businesses that kind of go out of business for various reasons. And it's nice to see someone take one of these older businesses and resurrect it and turn it into something good like it used to be. So my hat's off to you for that, Dan, for sure.
Oh, yeah, we're trying. I want to prove it can still be done in the USA.
I hear you. That's great. Well, look, folks, be sure and check out Dan's company, Williams Brothers Model Products, and I will have the link to their website. Actually, it's up right now on the post on RC Scale Builder. If you'd like to visit their website and check out what he has for sale, he has lots of products for sale there. And Dan, I surely hope you'll come back another time and join us for another show, if you would.
Oh, sure.
Well, that was
great.
That was fantastic. You know, it's always interesting to hear these processes, and that's kind of a cool thing about doing this is I get to hear how everybody makes their stuff. So it gives everybody and gives our listeners a little more perspective on what's involved in running these businesses and why we should buy from you and not from the Chinese. So, but look, thanks again, and thanks for your support on RC Scale Builder. We certainly do appreciate it. And also, you're involved. You're on the forums. You're out there. If anybody has a question, they can just throw it out there, and more than likely, you'll see it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a thread on the gossip area in the forum I started a long time ago when I started the company. If you want to see the whole kind of history of me falling into this, it's a good place to go to see from my raggy, dirty building to a nice, clean shop.
That's awesome. Okay, now here's the important question I ask everyone before we wrap up the interview. So, do you have anything on your modeling workbench right now, or are you so tied up in work you don't have time?
Well, actually, I do have something I'm working on. I was hoping to make this another future product, but I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm building a scratch built 1/6 scale Fokker Heindecker E3.
Oh, wow.
And it's got the scale fully functional landing gear that I worked on really hard, so it bungees up in a few slides like the real one, and it's going to have wing warping. I want to see, I've never had wing warping before, and I want to see if it, you know, what it does. So, and if it flies nice, you know, yeah. I'm thinking I might try to turn it into our first kit, you know, RC kit.
Yeah.
And see what happens there. But I hope to have that one flying this summer.
Well, I'll be interested to hear that too, because I kind of inherited a quarter scale Eindecker kit with wing warping, and I'll be interested to hear how it works for someone else. So I'll let you be the guinea pig on that one, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Well, look, thanks again for joining us, Dan. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to do this. And I hope that, you know, we can drive a little more business your way. And, folks, be sure and visit Williams Brothers Model Products on the web. And, of course, if you don't know the URL or can't find it, just heck, go to Google and type in Williams Brothers Model Products, and you'll be right there. There's lots of ways to find them. So anyway, thanks again, Dan. And, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break and pay some bills, but we'll be back shortly. And so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Word Radio.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for WIC's Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the WIC's Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. WIC's wants to hear from you. Again, that's WIC's Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Hey, it's Matt from Warbird Radio Live here to tell you that the new subscriber section on Warbird Radio is absolutely free. That's right, I said it. It's free. Everything is free. The podcast, the image galleries, it's all there, including the special offers, and it's all free. All you have to do is go to the website, warbirdradio.com, log in, and that's it. It's free. Username and password. We might send you an email or two here and there, but it's something you'll want to get. And the best part is, it's all free. What are you waiting on? Sign up today. Warbird Radio Live, the new subscriber section, 100% free.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio control scale modeling, you should check us out at rcscalebuilder.com. It's a great community that offers build threads, tips and tricks, aircraft walkarounds, free plans, and much more. You can find us at www.rcscalebuilder.com. Hope to see you there.
The RC Scale Builder Show, broadcast weekly, right here on Warbird Radio.
This is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump, a part of Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off with the excitement of Warbird Radio.
You're strapped in to Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson. And whether you're listening live or listening to our podcast, I want to thank you for listening in to this show. We're doing this all for you folks. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, please feel free to email us at live at rcscalebuilder.com. Or you can go into the RC Scale Builder show forum on our website on rcscalebuilder.com and place any comments you have there about the show. Man, that was a great interview with Dan. I really enjoyed having him on with us tonight. We're going to get right into it because we got a few things to cover before we wrap it up tonight. Ron Berg is joining us tonight. Ron, are you there, pal?
Yes, I am. Mike, how's it going tonight?
Man, if I was any better, I would be you.
That was a great interview.
I really enjoyed listening,
and I was really pleased that you got so much audience participation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, Dan's a really nice guy and easy to work with, and, you know, what he's doing is just, I don't think a lot of people realize how much love he has in that business, you know?
Yeah, it was really interesting.
What do you got for us tonight, Ron?
I planned on doing another one of Dave Platt's video series, but I got pretty busy last week with some things, and so I decided to keep it kind of simple this week. And what I want to talk to you about is a video on how to paint pilot figures. It's put out by Airborne Media, and the name of it is How to Paint Pilot Figures with Don Typot is the one that's doing the instruction. And this will give you the techniques and the skills that you need to paint a very, very lifelike-looking pilot figure. He teaches you how to mix natural-looking flesh tones. He shows facial highlighting, and it was kind of an eye-opener for me because I remember the pilot figures I've tried to paint in the past. You know, you mix up something that looks like a good flesh tone and paint it, and it just I never could quite get that that realism. But he shows how you take and you mix darker colors to put in the creases on the face or in the eyes, and then paint back over top of that, and where you kind of shadow and the eye sockets and the creases in the face, and it makes it look a lot more realistic.
Hmm.
He shows detail in the eyes, shows some tips on how to paint the iris and eyes so you don't have them, so you don't end up with a cross-eyed pilot, one eye going one direction, another one going a different direction. And tips on how to make realistic-looking hair, simulating clothing, different textures of clothing, and even leather. It's a single-disc DVD. It's very reasonably priced, $19.95, and it's about 2 hours of running time, but it's very, very interesting. He gives three different examples, he paints three different pilot figures, and one of them is even an Oriental figure, and he shows how they're using different skin tones and changing the eyes a little bit. The way that you paint the eyes a little bit, you can make a convincing-looking Oriental figure for your Zero or Kate, whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty interesting. You know, I'm going to have to pick that one up myself. My little pilots usually end up looking like first-degree burn victims, you know, and yeah. for some reason.
Well, you know, if you can buy some really good ones, but they're like $150.
Yeah,
the ones
yeah.
that are pre-painted. Yeah. And you know, you watch this. You spend $20 on this and buy some paint and some quality brushes, and in no time at all, you follow his tips, you'll be painting you a pretty realistic father figure there.
Well, that's pretty neat. And, folks, we'll be putting a link to where you can purchase this DVD that Ron just told us about up on the thread about tonight's show on RC Scale Builder. And I hope you'll check it out, because Ron will continue to find these interesting. And actually tonight it was actually the perfect DVD to follow up with Williams Brothers, since they have the little pilot figures, you know. So there you go.
And if somebody has if there's a product that they would like to know more about, if they'll email you and let you know, I'll see what I can find out, and if we get a little cooperation from the manufacturers, pick us some information, maybe can pass it on to them.
Absolutely. That's right. Well, Ron, look, I appreciate you coming on tonight and telling us about that DVD. What are you going to try and have for us next week?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure that we're going to go back to something that Dave Platt has. I'll try to get that that building finished, and we'll start with that and work our way up with it, and just see what we'd come up with. Maybe surprise you with something. Well, I'd like to say hello to Jennifer, my cousin out in California. Mm-hmm. I told her about the show, and she said she's going to be listening tonight. So, Jennifer, go up to work, pass this on to your male friends at work, and get them to listen. There's
That's right. Tell all your friends and family, and even let your pets listen, you know.
Yeah, I even let my dog listen.
Hey, Mike,
in her own room, because she complains a lot.
Mike, it's your producer here. I have a comment for Ron that was just emailed into me, and I resemble this remark. I don't think there's anything wrong with a cross-eyed pilot. this guy and I, Dan, that wrote in, he said, you know, we both painted a number of these, and they all come out cross-eyed. So, listen, Ron, I'm going to go buy the DVD myself and try it out, because there are a lot of cross-eyed pilots
out there. Tuesday, I'd like to buy some stock in Arrow Media.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Ron. I'll bow out now. Thanks.
You know what's interesting? We ought to do a web or a thread of the worst pilot you ever painted.
We have that at the airport.
I can take one on my 4-star 40 and win that.
As long as it's not a troll, you know?
There you go.
That's kind of my thing.
All right, Mike. Okay. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, Ron. Ron, thanks for your help. Well, folks, up next, we're going to have Mitch Baker here. And Mitch has been doing a interesting little segment for us called Subject Seeking. And what the idea of this segment is that Mitch goes out and finds a aircraft subject and tells us a little bit about it and tells us what plans are available and who has them and so on and so forth. And so let's get right into that. Mitch, have you joined us tonight?
Oh, yeah, Mike. I've joined you from beautiful, sunny Terre Haute, Indiana. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, pal. Glad you could join.
It's not that sunny right now. It's just about dark. But it was sunny today. Made me really sick because I was inside working.
Well, you know, I think we all have that fever this time of year.
I'm waiting for my retirement plan to kick in, but the local lotto here keeps picking the wrong numbers.
I hear you. Well, what have you got for us tonight, Mitch?
Well, tonight I'm going to talk about probably a plane that a lot of people know about, but a different variation of it that they probably haven't seen much of. And back in the early 70s, 70-71, the U.S. started a project called Credible Chase for the Vietnam War in Southeast Asia. The U.S. wanted a short takeoff and landing type aircraft that was also an armed gunship and could be used for counterinsurgency. So they decided to license the PC-6 from Palladius, and Fairchild got the license for it, and they built it as a UA-23A Peacemaker, which was designated by the United States Air Force, or UV-20 by the U.S. Army. There are about 35 of these that were produced for United States, and eventually all were sold to the Royal Thai Air Force because they really didn't – I don't know if they actually didn't perform or money wasn't there, but they didn't use them that often, except for two were still used by the Army in West Berlin up through the 80s. Hmm. The AU-23, it's amazing that that aircraft, they could pack a punch. They could mount either a single 20-millimeter Gatling gun or a twin 7.62 miniguns in it. It also had four hard points on the wing and one hard point on the fuselage where it could carry additional bombs, napalm, or even rocket pods. It had a total payload of about 2,200 pounds.
Wow.
The PC-6 Porter by Palladius, which that's what this was actually, was originally designed in 61. It was one of the most versatile aircraft in the world. It has or is being used for parachuting, aerial photography. They have float plane versions. They have off of snow and ice with skis. One of its really great features is it can be used as a tow plane, and it actually has the ability to tow two gliders up very quickly. There's also a version of a fire plane, which they can use a 340-gallon foam water tank that basically just slides into the cargo bay. It's just really amazing what this aircraft can do. A lot of people probably remember it from the movie Air America. Mm-hmm. It was featured in that a lot. From a modeling standpoint is where it really becomes interesting, because there's so many choices of schemes and configurations. There's probably a good 30 countries that have some version of this aircraft, either military, law enforcement, or even in civilian use. So there's pretty much unlimited supply of schemes and variations you can gather together to model this aircraft. Along those lines, for those that are wanting to look for kits, Mr. Aero Design, up in Canada, has a 120-inch wingspan version of this a kit for this. Also, Icon Northwest produced a 92-inch version of this, and if Icon Northwest is no longer in business, but you can still find some of these out on the internet, eBay, and several other places. There are some smaller plans. There was a small plan set put out by Laddie. I'm going to butcher his last name, and I apologize for it.
Michalusko.
There you go. Thank you for the save.
Yeah, producer Matt. There you go.
Matt comes in and saves the day again. Also, RCM Plans is a 53-inch version of this aircraft. Chin Model Aircraft has a 44-inch version. E-Star Models has a 47-inch version. AMA Plan Services also has a 54 and 68-inch set. RC Store has a really small 36-inch for those. And actually, amazingly enough, there's a lot of ARFs available for it, too. I won't go into detail all of them, but the largest ARF I found was actually a giant-scale 126-inch wingspan version of that aircraft.
Wow. That's interesting. You know, that airplane, to me, is right up there in the same class of being everywhere as like a Cessna 150 or 172 or a Beaver. You know, I mean, you see it in all parts of the world.
Right. And you know, the Swiss use it for their mountain rescue. Well, Palladius is a Swiss company, if I remember right.
Well, that's awesome, Mitch. That'd be really interesting to check out. I actually checked out a couple of these companies today while I had a little time when I was eating lunch, and it's amazing how many models of this aircraft are out there.
Yeah, that's what amazed me. I mean, I'd seen a couple around. You know, VQ has an ARF and stuff like that. But then when I started digging deeper into it, you know, it's just amazing how many people overseas and in the States have either plans or complete, you know, kits and ARFs for it. So, and like I said, with the variants of the different countries around, you could build one a year and still not repeat yourself.
That's true. That's awesome.
And, as far as painting the pilots, I want to mention something on that real quick. You know, Basically a Sasquatch scheme on a pilot is very easy to do.
What, cover his face in glue and just put it in hair? Is that what you
do? There you go. You know, you just roll it around on your back and you got them all painted.
You know, Mike, we don't allow a lot on the station, but man, we have to draw the line somewhere. Sasquatch pilots. I want to see a picture with you and those gloves that you won this morning, Mr. Baker.
Yeah, I gotta get the tape measure out and measure the old hands and do that. And I want to say thank you. I actually didn't expect it. I was just trying to show that I was supporting and listening to the station and just emailed in and didn't realize I would be the first one in.
There you go. That's awesome. I have to say, I have the Icon Northwest, and that is a terrific flying airplane. I mean, it really is. Terrific flying airplane to the PC. So that's all I had to offer.
It's a shame those kits aren't around.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
What a fun flying airplane, too. Oh, it was a neat airplane. I had an OS-70 on it, and a dear friend of mine, Johnny Bishop, built it. And I was still just a kid, you know. And he said, now, whatever you do, man, take your time putting the radio in it. Because I used to rush everything just to get it out to the field. But that was the first airplane I took my time with, and it flew beautifully. And then I sold it. So, I have airplane ADD. So my wife says I'm an airplane whore. She says, you know, I get them and then I get rid of them. So that's just the thing. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I think we all have that affliction. Yeah.
My wife says, when's enough? And I said, what do you mean?
Sorry, Mike. I had to jump in there. You guys have fun tonight. Enjoyed it.
Thanks. Well, Mitch, what do you got coming up for us next week? You got any ideas yet?
Actually, I don't have any ideas right now. I'm still debating on several different things. I've got some ideas roaming around and just don't have anything picked yet.
Well, let me help you out here. Folks, if you have a subject that you would like Mitch to discuss and maybe do a little research for you and see who has what kits, why don't you email us at live@rcskillbuilder.com and I'll pass that subject on to him.
I think I heard somebody say A20. A20
Havoc. Yeah. A20 Havoc.
There you go, Mitch.
A20. Where have I heard that before? Oh, right. There's this great warbirdradio.com is doing this thing with Mr. Cassidy and the A20, aren't they?
Maybe we are. Maybe we're having the author of the book on Thursday too. I don't know, but anyway, I'm going to shut up, Mike. I'm ruining your timing.
That's fine. I love the A20. It's another good one. It was actually on my list of things to do. So
yeah, what a fun airplane.
A20. Right. Unless somebody else comes up with something later on in the week.
I just want to see Chilson.
It is next week.
I want to see Chilson build one.
Man, I'm going to do it just because you asked me.
I want to see you build one. I think it'd be a great electric airplane for you.
I will. I'll do it. It may be a small one, but I'll build one.
That's cool. I want to see it. Then I want to buy it.
He's going to have this little rubber band thing that's going to throw at you from across the room.
I'm waiting. At Warbirds over Georgia. That's what it's going to be.
A little profile.
Right.
Yeah, profile. Wait, profile, let's not get into Mike's area of expertise.
Oh, man.
Well, Mitch... I just got an email in from Chris Cunningham, who you've met, a friend of mine, he wanted me to let you guys know a little-known fact about this aircraft. The plane was really a highly modified Commonwealth Windjill. Are y'all familiar with that airplane?
No.
That's not the little Australian trainer.
Oh, okay.
And to me, it's like the Yugo of the airplane world. Okay.
Yugo. So that actually sounds like something Jerry Bates would actually do plans for then.
Wow.
Well, that's his favorite airplane, you know, and so of course I got to give him as hard a time as possible.
Of course.
I tell him that they couldn't afford tires for that airplane, so they go down to the a hardware store and get wheelbarrow wheels and put on.
Hey, listen.
Better that than stealing them off the baby carriages, right?
I'm not saying a word.
Chilson, I'm just looking ahead here and on your outline here for tonight's show. And you must be in a great mood tonight because this is the easiest trivia question I've ever seen you ask.
I told you, man.
I'm almost disappointed. I mean, you must have been, I'm not going to say what must have happened today, but I mean, you must be in an excellent, excellent mood to ask this. Of your audience, nonetheless? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is nuts. This is too easy. It's just too easy. I can't believe I'm allowing you to even ask this on my station. This is nuts. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say.
Mike was getting tired of all the hate mail of people actually having to think at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, they're like, you're making them way too hard. Ease up some. So,
I'll let you get on with your show, Mike. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, anytime, pal. All right. You break in anytime you want. This is all about
you own it, so.
Well, that's right. Yeah, but... but you know, he's the developer, so there you go.
You use that term very loosely, don't you?
Oh, well, yeah, of course. But it's a fun partnership, to say the least. But thanks for calling in tonight, Mitch. And
thank you,
Michael. I know you're trivia question is going to stump lots of people out there. And
Well, I got two quick things for Mitch before we let Mitch go. Todd Burley emailed in, and he wants you to do the AR-240.
The AR-240?
Arado 240.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a better
one.
That
is a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
Do that one and then do the A-20.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my only suggestion. I want an A-20.
Well, let's say I could do them at the same time because you got an AR-240 and then just take out some things. You have an A-20, right?
You know what I saw the other day is, you know, Dong, my old friend Dong, he's building a B-26 now.
Wait a minute. This guy's name is actually
his
Dong.
His name is Dong Pham. There's no kidding. He was the guy. He was the designer behind VQ models.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Dong is an American patriot. I'll tell you offline a story about him at Toledo the year we took him there, and it was not pretty, but it's one that I can only share in
Mike's
company.
Mike's told you a few stories of last year in Toledo.
Well, this one is good. But Dong, I understand Dong is building a B-26 now. Maybe we need to call him and have him build an A-20 for Tomas to sell, because that would be an awesome airplane.
I think we should get him on the show.
I would. You know what? All kidding aside, I would love to have Dong on the show. Dong fought in Vietnam on the U.S. side. His father was there as well with him, and he was shot 8 times, if you can believe that, and kept going back. I mean, that is a story that in itself is worth telling, but
hey,
that's kind of the show.
Can I do a quick plug for Hellhawks a minute?
Nope, sorry. We got to go.
Darn it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my father's birthday was last Monday, and I was trying to think of a good gift for him, so I decided, okay, I'm in the middle of reading Hill Hawks. I'm going to give him a copy of it. I called up Mr. Dorr on Friday.
Which in
evening,
itself
we played
is cool
tag
enough.
A few times.
Isn't that awesome? You can just call him up.
Called him up.
Yeah.
We chatted for a short amount of time. Before he even got a check from me, he had the book in the mail the next Saturday.
Wow.
This past Saturday, he said he'd get it in the mail Saturday. My dad emailed me today, thanking me that he got the book today. You know, I'd sent him a check out on Saturday, like sure. I told him I would. But you know, it's great. I mean,
what
if
a
you
cool
want
guy.
That book, call him, and you get an autographed right. copy of it. And it pretty much comes just as fast as ordering it any other way.
Well, that's the thing. You could buy it off Amazon, or you could just buy it from the author, and he'll autograph it for you.
Yeah.
And this, you know, my wife called me the other day from, you know, where she's at over there right now, who's deployed. And she said, hey, have you seen this article about with Robert Dorr? And I'm like, yeah, we had him on the show. She's like, really? And I said, yeah, and we move fast around here.
And he wants to be on again.
Oh, well, I think it's great. He is welcome here anytime. I mean, what a prolific... aviation author.
He wanted me to let you know that he's willing to come on anytime. Give him a call.
All right, we'll keep talking because Mike only has 5 minutes left.
Okay, this is what happens when you lose total control of your show.
but look, lose a show in 5 minutes.
I know the owner. I think you're all right, Mike.
That's
anyway,
okay.
I'm going to bow out now. I'm sorry. This is what happens when I ruin your show. I just pop out here and ruin your show.
Yeah, the owner steps in and it goes downhill. You know,
No. It's all good. We're having fun.
Great.
That's what matters.
Oh,
before you go, Mitch, I have one comment for you.
Okay.
Dan Gellner wanted me to tell you that as far as the PC-6 Porter, that chicks do not dig it.
Oh, man.
No, but they
Dan
do
Gellner.
Dig the Peacemaker.
Ah, Dan. Where is Dan when you need him? He hasn't called in tonight, Mike.
Oh, I'm sure it'll happen, but we got to get the trivia out of the way.
So. You only have 4 minutes left.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, there you go.
Hopefully
well, thanks for calling in, Mitch. We'll check
thanks,
in with
man.
You next week.
Thanks,
thank
Mike.
Thank you much. Bye, guys.
Okay, folks. Getting back on track here. Sorry about that little distraction there. But trivia question for tonight. Okay, we are going to give away 2 1-ounce bottles of Balsa USA Gold CA, one thick and one thin bottle. And all you've got to do is answer this trivia question. Okay. If you have already won, you cannot win again. Let's let everybody have a chance to win, okay? So if you're first time listening to the show tonight, I expect you to call in or email your answer in. Okay. If you know the answer to this question, you can phone us at 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio or email me at live, L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com. Okay, here's tonight's question. This is a pretty easy one, so I expect someone to call in immediately. Okay, what was the name of Chuck Yeager's P-51D? Once again, what was the name of Chuck Yeager's P-51? If you know the answer to this, call us at 478-787-4768 if you have not won before. And let us know, and you can receive a nice gift of two bottles of glue. And while we're waiting on someone to call in, just a real quick rundown on events. This next weekend, not the coming one, but April 9th through 11th, we've got the Weak Signals Toledo RC Expo. Be sure and join us there for the dinner Friday night. More information on the website. Top Gun, April 28th through May 2nd in Lakeland, Florida. And Mint Julep Skill Meet, May 14th and 16th in Kentucky. So be sure and join us at any of those events. And someone will be there, I'm sure, that from the site that you can talk to or other members. Once again, folks, this is an easy question to win some glue. All you got to do is call in to 478-787-4768.
Hey, Mike, it looks like we have a caller here.
Okay. Caller, go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah. Hey, I've got an answer to your trivia question.
Okay. Who are we speaking with?
Gary Buchanan out
Gary.
Of Texas.
Okay. Nice. Glad you called in, Gary. What? Let me read the question and then you give us the answer, okay?
Sure.
Okay. What was the name of Chuck Yeager's P-51?
I'll answer it in three parts.
Okay.
He actually had two of them. The first one shot down, Glamorous Glenn 1.
Right.
And then he loaned the airplane to somebody else, and it was Glamorous Glenn 2, the second one.
Right.
And the third one is sitting in our hangar here in Uvalde, Texas, Glamorous Glenn 3.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, everybody thought this was going to be an easy question, but it is not so easy, as you can see. Congratulations, Gary. That's fantastic. I appreciate you calling in.
If you will shoot me an email. It's actually a treat to have that airplane in our hangar, and we get to use it and fly it every day. So it's kind of neat out here in Uvalde.
That's awesome. Hey, if you'll shoot me an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com with your info, I'll get the glue right out to you.
No problem. I'll give it to my 15-year-old.
There you go, pal.
All right.
Well, super. Be sure and email us with your info, and I'll get that out. All right. There you have it, folks. Everybody thought it was going to be a simple one, but it wasn't quite as simple as it seemed. We probably would have taken the generic answer on that, but there were actually three separate ones. That's correct. So, well, that's probably going to wrap it up for tonight. I had a good show. I hope everyone enjoyed it. If you have any ideas or suggestions, be sure and email us or let us know on the website if you have some thoughts. I'd like to hear them. And thanks to Dan, and thanks to Ron and Mitch, and of course Matt, and everybody that called in and emailed us. And I guess we'll see you next week. Until I confirm it, I don't want to tell you for sure who's going to be on, but we got a great guest that's going to be on next week. So that's going to wrap it up for this week. And be sure and check out rcscalebuilder.com for more upcoming information on the next episode of the RC Scale Builder Show. Be sure and tune in for more great programming here on Warbird Radio. And until next time, be sure and measure twice and cut once.